Pleasure beyond space and time.
Divayanus Yunbaum.
Welcome to the Cryptid Erotica Hour.
Hosted by Mad Tower Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to a very, very sensual and erotic episode of Mad Tower Radio. My name is Dan, as always, joined by my two co-hosts, Christian and Ryan. And one of our guests is with us today. We have Dom in the studio, a.k.a. Ranger Dom. Why don't you introduce everybody, or introduce yourself, Dom?
Hey, guys. Glad to be on the podcast, finally. Just steadily watching and listening and partaking in some ghost hunts along the way, and hopefully more to come.
Yeah, you might recognize Dom from the ghost hunt, actually.
Yeah, the cameraman at Airtight Bridge.
A vital production assistant.
Yeah, most of the B-roll shots were my doing.
Weren't you listed as MIA at the end of that episode?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, we left you.
Yeah.
At
that point.
But yeah, Dom is he's a good friend of the show, and he's here to read us a horny short story here in a little bit. But I do know that since the last time we did Cryptid Erotica, that your guys' palates have all been salivating for more of Demonica. So I almost called it Pleasure Unbound or Pleasure Agape or whatever the hell they're called.
Damn, you know the names?
Moaning for Bigfoot.
Oh, no.
I only know my favorite one. Before we get into all that, I did just want to stop and take a second to let you guys know that this is not only a very special episode because it's the Cryptid Erotica Hour featuring Ranger Dom and WeTCG. It is also our 52nd episode, and that might seem arbitrary, but if we were good podcast hosts and we did one episode every week, 52 would equal out to 1 year of episodes. So today is officially hitting our mark of 1 year of episodes, so I'm just calling it our 1 year anniversary, but it's also like our 3 year anniversary.
Yeah, don't worry too hard about it. We got there.
Just a big thank you to all of our fans and listeners and people who ask us about the show and talk to us about it. It's great, and it's fun being on here and getting to make this stupid shit with my friends. So thank you guys for listening. Anybody else want to say something nice to the viewers? All right, special over. Let's get into the fucking horny news.
Hey, guys. It's me. I'm back. I read another 400-page cryptid erotica series by one United States Navy veteran, Larissa Ione.
That's not real.
Hell yeah, dude.
She's a vet. And this one is called Passion Unleashed, a Demonica novel. Now, I can provide a little bit of foundational information for those who maybe they're jumping in late or they kind of forgot where we were. The Demonica series is, as of this recording, a 14-book epic.
Ooh, I could have swore it was 7 when we started these.
4? I found 7 more. I found
Fuck,
7
dude.
More books.
Well, that means you guys are getting at least 14 Cryptid Erotica hours.
While we're here, I'd like to add an addendum to my piece. I'm on Larissa's Goodreads page. In 2022, she published her 21st Demonica book, The Bonds of Passion.
21st?
So we got a long way to go, kids.
Holy 21st. Shit.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the DCU over there, the demonic crazy universe.
That was good, though. Demonic crazy universe.
Oh my god. Oh my god. And it follows this underground hidden demon hospital. Underworld, like Grey's Anatomy, and the three main characters are these seminous demons, these male incubus sex monsters named Eidolon, Wraith, and Shade.
I had a question. So
I have an answer.
I you may have mentioned it before, but is the nature of their work at the hospital also implicitly sexual? Or are they just regular-ass doctors working at a hospital, but they're just huge sex freaks?
They are three sex demons who feel like they need to give back to their demonic community by working in this hospital. And now this third book does a lot of work on developing the wider world, developing the hospital's place in the universe. Like this, you're going to find out this book did a lot of heavy lifting to allow this story to go 14
okay,
fucking books.
Okay, shit, I'm ready then.
That is a
so, by the third book, you're starting to notice a pattern here. Larissa likes to have one main character. He's the naked man on each of your covers.
Okay.
And he will be either a demon or a werewolf or a vampire in this case with Wraith.
Some kind of sexy, mysterious creature.
Well, they're all incubuses plus some extra little twist. So in this case, Wraith is a sex demon vampire.
I see.
And then the protagonist has a will they won't they affair with some other person, whether it be a human, a demon hunter, or a werewolf who was his ex.
Okay, so it's always the star-crossed lovers kind of thing where it's like we shouldn't be banging,
but we must.
But that's we cursed. Must.
That is exactly what we get in this one. Except now it has worldwide implications. Wraith is the third brother of Eidolon from the first book, Shade from the second book, and he's the hothead bad boy. He was never going to settle down and marry no woman.
Yeah.
He just wants to suck and fuck.
Yeah.
And also, he hates vampires, despite being one himself.
Okay, yeah. Got a little bit of Blade action.
He was turned against his will.
All right.
And he is walking the street one sexy misty night. And for those who don't remember, in the second book, their older brother tried to take over the hospital and kill them. It was his whole thing.
Mm-hmm. So, you missed that one, Dom. That one had a penis scavenger hunt.
Yes. Their older brother tragically lost his penis and he needed a penile transplant from one of his younger brothers, so he invaded the hospital. They thought he was dead. It was his whole thing. But anyway, he's dead, but he sent an assassin and he said, hey, if I die, keep going after these boys. Don't let them off the hook. Wraith is walking down the street in a Blade Runner, like, sexy rainy night, and he gets hit in the neck with a dart.
Oh?
And it's a super poison.
Ah, yes.
That super poison.
And there's no cure.
Why
would there be?
Well, the world invents stuff when it needs to, Dom.
No.
The plot needs to move somewhere.
Plot armor, I see. Okay.
And they're all doctors. They're all PhD demon hunters. And the older brother, Eidolon, is like, I'm going to keep it real with you, Chief. You're going to die in 2 weeks. There's nothing we can do here.
Phase up.
Jesus.
But they find out there are these, and it's noun fucking soup in the first couple chapters. They have to give you, like, this organization, and they call themselves the Sentinels.
Yeah, you gotta lay out the, gotta set the table, pretty much.
So you find out that there is this girl named Serena Kelly. She is this Lara Croft treasure hunting,
okay,
independent badass woman.
Okay.
And she is marked by heaven. There is this in the background, there's this, like, Sheol versus heaven sort of war going on, and it's building in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And when Lucifer fell, which we all know, he took a piece of heaven down with him. Just a tiny little piece. And that little fragment of heaven is this locket that Serena Kelly now has.
Oh, that is kind of interesting, actually.
And the demons are trying to get it because it will open up the gates to heaven, because heaven will, like, you know, recognize itself and open or whatever.
Yeah.
And the angels are trying to keep it from the demons, and it's this whole rigmarole plot MacGuffin. But Serena has it, and it protects her from any demonic power. She cannot be harmed
okay
by demons.
Okay.
So our introductory chapter. Go ahead.
She like throws it on and she like can see like true forms and stuff.
So she wears it at all times. She cannot take it off.
Oh, okay.
Because it's this charm passed down through the family lineage, and this demon had cursed her mother, and herself with this like necro mega poison. Mm-hmm. Sounds familiar, right?
Right. Oh yeah.
And her mother was the keeper of the locket, and two of the people in this situation were going to die, either the mom, the dad, or the daughter. So she passes the locket onto her so the poison won't kill her.
Mm-hmm.
So if she takes off the locket, she will die from the poison.
That's interesting. That's pretty cool, actually.
Now, the only way to get this locket is to have sex with Serena.
Fuck it. Of course.
She
dude, of
has
course.
Been a virgin her entire life, and she fears that one day she will give in to her temptation and
oh
lose this piece of heaven.
God.
That is the burden that she carries.
Wow, dude.
Burden we all carry, to be honest.
Yeah, true.
Gone, God. Every, we all wait for marriage.
Look, you all, we all had that locket, all right? We chose to take it off. Okay.
I had the Jonas Brothers promise rings, bro, one on each other.
Well, you think about that. You let them down, all right?
So, our introduction to Serena, dog, is she goes to vampire nightclubs, and she likes to flirt with vampires and, like, show her neck and, like, get really, like, hot and bothered with them because she knows they can't hurt her, and she robs them. She takes their shit.
Oh, I forgot that they couldn't hurt her. So, like, they can't look at her? Like, if a vampire with a gun shot her? Like,
no, she cannot be hurt by a demon. She can't be, like, sexually coerced. She's immune to that kind of shit. She can't even be, like, bitten or attacked without her
wow.
consent. Like, she'll...
So there's,
she'll
like, a little...
Rob these dudes.
So there's, like, a little referee in the locket that's, like, doesn't count when a vampire tries to shoot her?
Or a demon, or a...
Anything?
A fucking anything. A goblin, an imp.
Does it have any active buffs? Like, can she go soul shredder mode?
No, she doesn't have a devil trigger okay. like Eidolon's wife, who they have two kids now, or
ooh.
Three. The kids show up. So we begin with this drama where Eidolon and this fallen angel, who I don't need to fuck this guy, I'm not getting into him. They say, listen, Wraith, you have to find Serena and you have to have sex with her to get this locket or you will die.
So, and, the Eidolon brothers, right? They're yes. generally good-natured towards humanity, correct?
They are, for the most part, swell guys.
And are they aware at this time that the turbo poison's gonna kill her if they fuck?
They don't know that. That is a deep revelation in the story,
okay.
where it becomes a seesaw of, like, which one of them's gonna live? Which one of them's gonna die? Only one can have the locket.
I see. No, they both live. That's my bet. They both live, because then who's gonna have Wraith's kids if she dies?
Me.
Damn, bro.
You're gonna have Wraith's kids?
Yep.
And according to the Goodreads reviews from all the MILFs, they love Wraith. He's the most popular
really?
By far.
Me and my fellow MILFs all agree.
Did they say?
The bad boy vampire, like, daddy.
Oh, really? Were the other two not that? Because if I recall correctly, the last dude, like, had her pinned up against the wall right out behind the coffee shop after meeting for 10 minutes.
Oh, Shade's a nasty biker freak.
Yeah.
Eidolon's just a family man. He's just a house husband or a doctor husband.
Jeez.
But Wraith, he don't give a shit. He's not gonna marry a girl. He's
God
not gonna settle
damn,
down.
Bro, Wraith pulls up smoking them cowboy killers, dude. Wraith's got those Marlboro Reds in the sleeve.
So I would like to say, I'm getting kind of sick of Larissa's shit.
Yeah.
She's getting a little overly quirky. Like, she has a specific writing style. I'm going to read you some of the excerpts to sort of give you a feel for the writing style before we dive into the second half.
Okay.
Before he gets attacked by that poison, he's attacking a nest of vampires. The leader whipped a pistol out of his droopy-ass pants. you got a motherfucking death wish. Wraith grinned. You got that right. Only it's your death I wish for. He smashed his fist into the leader's face.
What the Sasuke.
Oh my god, that's awesome, dude.
It's shit, like, quippy, like, superhero wannabe.
This
bullshit.
Is sexy Marvel, dude. You don't gotta
yeah, this
play coy
like,
with me. I know what she's doing, bro. she's setting up the dark universe that Universal Studios tried to do with the Mummy.
It's more like the horny
sexy MCU. Yeah, dude.
She's doing the horny cryptids universe, and God bless her for it, man. This is awesome.
I sent a picture of this to Dan once in secret. I'm gonna read you the first sentence of this story.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Chapter 1. There were three things Wraith did well.
Oh, no.
Hunt, fight, and fuck. He was going to do all three tonight in exactly that order.
Hell yeah.
Oh my god. What is...
Imagine.
Does it say what he's hunting? Like, does he need to feed?
He was on some fucking mission.
Okay. Who's... Missions for the hospital?
You gotta keep the streets clean. They were fighting this black market organ donor or organ harvesting syndicate, like, in the first two books.
Okay, I get you.
But also, you go into, the vampire politics. It's very particular on who can you feed on, who can you turn. Like, you're only allowed X number of kill coupons a month, so he's like, oh, this sucks, I can't kill these guys because I already blew all my kill coupons this month.
Oh my god, bro.
The vampire government's going to be on my ass. Now, like I said, she is a treasure hunter.
Yeah.
So she's off in, Egypt. She's in, Cairo.
Mm-hmm.
And she's on a mission alone. And Wraith says, you know what? I'm just going to go to Cairo, too. I'm going to masquerade as this suave, sexy archaeologist guy.
Okay.
Named Jake.
Nice.
So he accidentally brushes up against her in Cairo, and he's like, you could call me Jake. I'm this ravishing, sexy man, and I'm going to come with you to the pyramids.
Yeah, that is not as cool as Wraith, bro.
He's trying so hard because he has to have sex with her willingly.
Sure.
He has to woo her consensually, which is great because sometimes they're kind of, fast and loose with that shit. In these stories.
A little bit. That's, yeah. I tend to roll around with the fast and loose ones, and it's a little, doesn't feel very intimate.
Yeah, but this one, the express purpose of it is to, find them connecting and, get to meeting down consensually.
It's a find and fuck. You know, like a smash and grab.
Oh, no, what does that mean?
Fucking Wraith finds her, fucks her.
Well, that's what he thought.
That's what he's got.
That's how
do,
he
right?
thought it was gonna go, and they it cuts between them in their POVs. Like Wraith's like, "Oh man, I sound like such a dweeb. She's never gonna want to have sex with me. This isn't gonna work." And then it cuts to Sarita, and she's like, "God, he's so hot.
He's so hot.
Lose heaven's charm." She's like, no, I can't do it, bro.
It sounds like Kaguya. Like it sounds like an anime. It sounds like an anime.
That's awesome.
Like. Their first meeting, she's like, wow, he's really hot and he's really muscular. And oh no, I can't do this. I've wanted to have sex my entire life.
Oh my lord. Is she allowed to perform self-maintenance or will God blow her up?
Or will God blow her up?
Like the rest of us, God will blow you up if you masturbate.
Just wondering.
We are all bound by that. It's somewhat interesting that you mentioned masturbation, because I did also learn in this series and in this particular book, there is no homosexual relationships in Incubus culture.
Like, we just haven't seen one, or Larissa said,
like not allowed.
Yeah.
She said that shit is not allowed. They're 100% breeders.
Okay. I mean,
if they can't impregnate, not only do they not want to do it, it says in this book that they physically cannot come from homosexual sex.
Oh.
She's kind of a bigot.
Do you think this is just like lore has got to be lore, and sometimes the lore isn't pretty, or is Larissa trying to say something here?
An agenda.
I don't want to, you know, besmirch a veteran like this.
I also would not like to besmirch her, because nothing else has indicated that she thinks like that. Considering the fact that she publishes smut with her real name, I'm thinking
with
it's
her Christ-given
I'm thinking
name.
It's got to be just lore.
It's just some weird breeder thing that she's going for.
I mean,
which, all right.
If you're putting this stuff out here with your God-given name, you got nothing else to lose.
My confirmation name, St. John?
But,
yeah,
hey.
Like, your Sarge knows your name. Your general knows this name.
Hey, you know what, man? I buy that. I buy that lore.
Not Eisenhower reading my smut.
That dog will hunt.
So, we find out through a series of, like, wacky Egyptian archaeological things that there's this fallen angel named Bizamoth.
Mm-hmm. Bizamoth.
Bizamoth. And he wants that fucking charm because he's going to use it to open up a gate to hell and bring all the demons to Earth and invade heaven with this locket.
Okay.
So he's the big bad chasing him down for this book.
Is it... Does Lucifer show up?
Lucifer does not show up, but I do think he will be. He's in the cards because I sort of
is
know
he mentioned? Some... Is he name dropped?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. There's tons of fallen angels, tons of angels in general show
but
up.
But Bizamoff wasn't like, if Satan won't do it, I'll do it myself.
I think he's just like
a demon,
particularly. Yeah, just he's the one who did
okay.
it.
All right.
Well. They make this whole big deal about like how these marked humans can't be detected, like they're hidden, but something happened with Serena that now all the demons know she's who she is and what she's got, so like she's being accosted at all times by demons, which is perfect when you have a really sexy bodyguard.
Yeah.
So he's fighting demons, he's protecting mm-hmm. her, he's buying her drinks, and she's shooting back whiskey, not like a girl, but like a cool girl. Who drinks liquor?
Oh my god.
And it ends up, Bizamoth attacks, and he gets the locket, and gets in this very sexy tussle with Wraith, who beats him away.
Damn.
Hey, yo.
who
Wraith said, try all you like, Bizamoth. But I'm an incubus.
Bro, that's Metroplex Dallas, dude.
God.
So the twist of all twists is the locket gets taken away and the gates of hell begin to open up, and she immediately upon losing the locket like starts succumbing to her disease. Now I said she was immune to all demonic power.
When you said succumbing to her disease, I thought you meant like her lustful disease. I totally forgot about the super necro poison.
Well, yeah, that too.
I thought she was just like, the locket's removed.
Oh, she's coming.
Jesus Christ, dude.
She loses the locket, immediately starts like the demon cancer comes back, and Wraith is like, wait, I know what to do. If I make you my sexy vampire wife, you'll be able to survive this disease.
Jesus Christ, dude.
So there's this very interesting in-depth turning segment, and they get the locket back, and by the end we have more than two aggressive sex scenes now that the lust gate has been opened.
Okay.
Like I believe it's Eidolon looks
that
at them.
Does that
like,
open up after the ninth gate, the lust gate,
the chakra of the ninth gate? He one of the brothers is like, oh, I'm sorry, y'all want a bone? My bad. Like y'all been holding back for this whole book. Like I'm gonna just let y'all do the thing.
What a good bro, dude.
So the story ends, and they've been bonded.
Mm-hmm.
When an incubus bonds with their partner, we know this from the two other times it happens. Yep. It's this very spiritual thing. They're not allowed to have sex with another person.
Yep.
And they're bonded for life. So they have like a beautiful potluck dinner.
Oh my god.
That Eidolon shows up and all his kids are there, and Shade shows up with his werewolf wife, and some angel says, hey, you guys can come to my honeymoon next week in Hawaii. Oh, this angel's in the book, and he gets married, and he makes sure the wedding's at night so that all the vampires
is this come. That fallen okay. angel you were talking about earlier? They just said we're not going to get it one.
Is a different one. He's on the medical staff. He's like the secretary.
This sounds like writing fan fiction for like Hotel Transylvania.
It's like Grey's Anatomy, Hotel Transylvania.
And they fuck. Like,
and they're fucking. But Eidolon knocks on the door at the end of the book and he says, I also have this wraith and it's one of his children.
Nice. Whose children?
One of Wraith's children from a lusty fuck he had before he met her.
Oh,
because they're both vampires now. They both can't have kids. And Serena's like, that's okay. I love you, and I don't care how you were before this. We can raise this child together. And Wraith becomes a family man.
Oh, my God, bro. What the hell?
He puts the suit and tie on.
That's it, bro. I can't wait for the fourth book where she turns another bad boy into a dilf. So did Wraith make his wife go get a tramp stamp?
Yes. No. When you bond with them, you have to get the matching tattoo.
That's not true.
It's true. All of the wives have matching tramp stamps because it's your like bonded tattoo.
You couldn't put it anywhere else?
Nope.
Wraith's like, nope, it has to be a tramp stamp. It has to say Wraith slut. I'm sorry, honey. These are the demon rules.
You're looking at the cover, aren't you?
No, I'm not. Tell me it doesn't say that.
No, it does not say that.
Okay.
But she does get a sexy tribal tattoo to match his.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That's
the next book for us to look out for is Lore's story.
Laura's story?
I think he's... Lore, L-O-R-E. I think he's a half-brother.
Cool. We're just naming him fucking anything now. She's gonna run into the same problem we do if they all got this little twist, bro. By book 16, fucking Lore's gonna have to be like half Mopinguari, bro.
She's gonna run out of cryptids.
She's gonna be out here having to slurp down the Mononongle.
So, like, if we take a look deeper into the series, we're going to get some ideas. Like, there's this guy named Reaver, and there's this guy named Revenant. I know these guys. But then, in the back half, all four horsemen of the apocalypse need to find their way.
No way!
Yes, the four riders show up.
Oh, that's going to be like war. That's going to be like the end game of the Demonica series, dude. That's going to be like, nuts.
Plague, pestilence, war, and bus are all going to be there. Right. They need to find their wives.
That is nuts.
So we have a charcuterie board in store for us in the future.
That's exciting, dude. This series gets better and better as we keep going.
I would disagree, but...
It gets better and better for me already. To listen to.
I would disagree.
I mean,
I like when someone else gets subjected to it.
Coming in at the first book and then now being on which book is this?
This is three.
Number three.
The third? Yeah, this is like nutso.
Well, the first two were just like one-on-one dating stories, and the third one is when all the fucking world plots started coming out.
And now they're hitting you with the great.
She's globetrotting. Like... Hey, you know, nobody can say that she's a one-trick pony in sure. some ways.
She's finding new ways to make these demons fuck.
No, that's awesome. Good for those.
Now, if you're asking if it got the job done, so to speak, because I know you're thinking it.
Well, I know you said two got the job done. So,
no, one got the job
done. Oh, only one got the job done for you?
That's a new two game. Was a little less sexy. Two is a little less tastefully sexy.
Okay, yeah. That one was kind of weird.
Three is an edge masterpiece.
What?
Your ass is not getting a sex scene for 300 pages. They are going to make you edge this shit.
Oh, so you think, do you think that worked to her advantage or disadvantage?
It worked to all the MILFs drinking their fucking Sauvignon on the beach.
So the target audience is loving it.
Oh, this is so far the highest one on Goodreads.
That's
the scores
awesome,
are just going
dude.
Up.
I'm so excited for fucking MILFs to get their Avengers.
Number four, Ecstasy Unveiled.
Fuck yes, dude. She's going to run out of synonyms with this titling structure. That's okay, though. That's awesome. That was a good one.
And that's all I've got.
I just love the Demonica series, man. It's always a good time.
I am unsure how she's continuing. I don't know how this is going to keep going for 14 books. I don't know if she's just going to fucking lose her mind, but I'm there.
You're
going
to get
committed
too. You're going to get to like book 6 and you're like, you're going to realize that the erotica stopped a long time ago. But you're going to be too invested. It's going to be like the next Ranger's Apprentice. You know?
I can't stop now. I'm on book 10.
Trust me, man. We're going to be finding out who the fucking four horsemen marry.
Here, let me just give you some parting words. Some of the top-rated reviews from Goodreads. From a bunch of... Let's call them MILFs, okay? Let's just get right to it. Ione is definitely a fresh voice in the paranormal romance genre, and her talent as a writer is first rate. The Demonica series truly stands out for its originality, unique characters, dark wit, scorching sensuality, and raw eroticism.
Damn!
Passion Unleashed is a spellbinding and sexy read. 5 stars.
Wow. Damn. I'm happy that everyone's loving it. If the target audience loves it, I love it too, man. If Demonica has one fan, it's Christian.
And can I give you the final pop-off moment for me? The one that really got me in? When they are... Oh my god, I have to like look over my shoulder to make sure my landlord's not like doing the laundry in the room over there. When they are just going at it...
Oh?
At the end of the book, when they're taking that victory lap down to like Meatville, and they are, you know, reaching the conclusion, she's still calling him Jake.
Oh!
And he's like, no, you call me Wraith. And she loved that shit. She loved that shit.
Oh no. You call me Wraith. Imagine if you did that and she didn't know. He was just some weirdo that was like, call me Wraith.
I think she knew, but like they were just had that tacit agreement that we were going by Jake.
I see. That's hilarious, dude.
So that drop at the end, that was like my Gurren Lagann pop off moment for this story.
Dude, I'm ready for what comes next.
Fantastic.
Well, turning it over next, we got Dom coming up for his hot and heavy special debut on Mad Tower Radio and the Cryptid Erotica Hour. How you feeling, Dom?
Well, I don't got as much as what a Christian had over there, but I went very, very in-depth as to finding a good, reliable source for my... erotica. So I went to the only place.
Well, like
that
you
I
need a couple.
No, I went to the one place where I knew that there would be horny erotica about anything. I went to Wattpad.
Nice.
That's what I like about you, Dom. I was just googling it, but you knew where to go.
I knew where to go.
That says a lot about you.
Are we all well versed in the writing and reading app of Wattpad?
Yeah, Fanfic Central.
Yes. Well, real quick, for anybody out in the audience that doesn't know, Wattpad is an app that will host your writings as an amateur author, and it's actually pretty cool because I think it like protects them legally too from being stolen.
I believe so.
Cool.
But it's for anyone and everyone, and by that I mean it is for kids writing horrible stuff.
It is perpetually always on horny mode in Wattpad.
Was this a full like novel, or was this like a fanfic?
It's kind of built in the format of a really long McDonald's drive-through order.
Okay, I like that.
I've never heard anything described like that before.
Long-form McDonald's order,
where it's kind of just one like really long like note app.
Oh,
like
they're not someone... they're not breaking up their paragraphs.
There ain't
or
no
anything.
Paragraph breaks. Just...
they more or less broke it up like a journal entry.
Like, her ass was driving in the car and just hit speech-to-text go?
It could have very well could have been. But, the book is called Moaning for Biggie.
As in Notorious B.I.G.?
Oh, no. Not Notorious B.I.G. It's Notorious Bigfoot.
Biggie Foot?
Yeah, Biggie Foot.
Is this one that's written by, like, Virginia What's-Her-Face?
I hope not. Scarlet Cool. With a K.
Okay, no.
And I guess if we do at some point another horny erotica for cryptids, this is book one.
Yeah.
The series is, and I quote, "Something Strange Monster Manual."
Damn, the whole manual? We're going to be like dicking down the drow and...
I read it. It's about, I would say, about three to four pages long.
Okay.
But essentially, she's just a girl who's a cryptid nut and has wanted to, like, research cryptid all of her life. She decided to pursue a degree in cryptozoology and go full force.
Let me pause you right there. There might not be a degree in cryptozoology in real life, but... all you need to do to be a cryptid researcher is just call yourself one and make a podcast about it.
It's that easy.
It really is that easy. So if you want to be a cryptid researcher, just do it. You can. I'm doing it.
Well, apparently in the universe of this book, she needed to have a thesis to write in order to finish her degree. And she hid this journal between... her mattress that she put as, quote, "the ammunition she needed to propel the thesis into the next dimension."
Okay.
Continuing that quotation, the literally the next sentence is, "always horny and always curious."
What do you mean?
The beautiful Jada is the main character's name. Spent years...
always horny and always curious, comma.
Yeah. Spent years digging deep into her cryptid-fueled brain in order to develop the Something Strange Monster Manual, Mating Habits of Cryptids. Cryptids had helped her with her sexual awakening and horny moments. Now if only she could help others find their own cryptid.
Dude, this girl sounds like she got groomed by the Mothman.
That's essentially what happens, but instead of it being Mothman, it's Biggie.
Hmm?
You can't call him Biggie. It's weird when you call him Biggie, dog.
Yeah. No, I know. Like, I read the book. I'm on a first name basis with Biggie and Bigger.
Oh my God.
And Bigger?
Oh my God.
But he's got a buddy.
Is that
let me... He's got Boot and then Bigger Boot.
You're lying to me. Keep going.
I
tell me what happens in this story. I'm
so, yeah, Jada is the main character, and she has a roommate named Maddie. The way that she describes Maddie is very sex-deprived. She had been crying for nearly a week and found her curled up on her bed, whimpered as... Jada entered the room. I guess her friend Maddie is some sort of fucking incel and is literally just trying to sleep with anything that has a pulse. The first half of like this story is trying to get Maddie to not have attempt to have sex with Jada. So she's like, "Stop touching me. hey, you know, I'm going to help you out, but I'm not going to have sex with you. I have just the thing for you. And she opens up her mattress.
She's got to help her friend bust?
Yeah. She essentially was like, I'll help you bust, but I ain't having sex with you. I know something that will, though.
All right.
She's like, put your shit on. We're going out to the woods.
I thought it was going to maybe be like a vibrator or something.
No. No.
I feel like you're reading what someone else wrote in order for them to bust. I feel like you're reading this guy's used tissue.
It's what it feels like. Yeah, like, reading this whole thing just felt gross.
So they're going out to the woods to find some relief.
Yes. She's flipping through this whole, like, scrapbook journal of all these cryptids that she's banged, and she's like, I need to find the one that's perfect for you. And she's like, I can't even read it.
You must.
I don't even want to say these things out loud. Apparently they wore crop tops and skirts hiking, and
like you do.
Apparently.
Wear when we go hiking.
Is that what y'all did on the rocks in the army?
Yeah, bro.
So they're out in the woods, and Jada is like, okay, you can't wear the panties in the woods because he needs to smell your
No.
He needs to smell your
vagina.
Your vagina.
Okay, and so Bigfoot has a good enough sense of smell to determine that it is a woman's vagina from X distance away, but the one little
layer. Correct. That is correct. I'll read you this paragraph verbatim. Another mile went by, and I could immediately feel the lust hormones filling the air, his musky, woodsy scent wrapping around me like a thick smoke. I could tell Maddie smelled it too. Her thighs clenched, and she began to play with her skirt as she tried her best to walk.
Dude, this is, like, horrid.
So they reach this moss bed. A literal bed of moss. Jada gets down, and...
So they don't see Biggie at this point. They just smell him?
No. No.
Okay.
She was like, I smell him. He's close. And he knows that we're close. So she lays down on her back on this fucking moss bed and just spread eagles. And she's like a compass or a fucking flag in the wind where she's just going wherever she thinks.
It's like a dowsing rod.
Yes. And Maddie is like, what the fuck are you doing? Maddie's like, you seriously brought me out here to do this? And I will read this whole paragraph. It is, I can't even paraphrase it. What are you doing? Maddie stared down with hooded eyes as she watched me. She doesn't say anything like obscene. All it says is Mons. And I don't know if that's, I don't know what Mons is. M-O-N. she was like, watched me rub along my Mons. I don't know if that's melons or... Oh fucking
yo, this dude oh don't know God, his anatomy. No,
stop saying
this dude
that.
Doesn't know his human anatomy.
Stop saying that word.
Dog.
Her mouth.
Did you pass basic sex ed?
It doesn't fucking matter. Her mouth instantly snapped shut, and I looked up to follow her gaze. She said, "Nope." I purred. Maddie, meet bigger foot.
Hmm. Okay.
All right.
And I guess that she's just sitting there like they're all in a cuck chair at the fucking hotel room.
Now, what did you mean by that?
Is everybody not well aware of the cuck chair?
No.
At the hotel?
Can you please help me?
The chair that's in the middle.
You didn't know this, Christian? Christian doesn't know about the cuck chair?
We don't know about the cuck chair, but the same way you don't know about what a mon is.
Come on.
Yeah. This man ain't never been to a hotel.
This man ain't never had his wife fucked while I sat in the cuck chair. Yeah, I guess not, Dom.
Put this on screen, Christian. Every hotel got the cuck chair, bro.
So to continue on, she goes, that's the end of the paragraph, and then it goes on to describe how Bigfoot is in her mind as of the author, and she describes female Bigfoot, and it is atrocious.
Oh, no, no. You're not giving the audience anything new with the female Bigfoot. That was the first episode of Cryptid Erotica, buddy.
Did they describe it like that of a female dog?
What do you mean?
I can...
Like female Bigfoots walk on all fours?
Rarely seen, female Bigfoots are big-breasted, fully covered in thick, light brown fur, only the poking out slightly until they are lactating. Lactating Bigfoots and hang even lower, similar to that of a female dog.
Oh my god, you're being heinous right now on the air. We're yeah, gonna have to bleep some of this shit, dude.
Got them things swinging, dog.
This thing is like 3 pages long. They had to fucking... It's condensed.
Dom, if this thing like... We're gonna have to cut this out, but if this... You cannot read it on this show.
Yeah, you can't read it. We have to kill you, though.
No. It
will just be like, and if, then if, the story
if
ended.
That's what
then
happens.
Then they kissed, and the story was over.
Yeah, this is a terrible, terrible book.
This sounds like depravedly horny.
I was reading
dude.
This at work, and like, I couldn't like leave. I was shamming out at work, and I'm sitting there, and I'm trying to read it.
You're what
like,
at work?
You were doing what?
Shamming. I was hiding at work.
Reading cryptid porn.
I had a bad draw, and I picked the most like vomit-inducing story.
Okay, so you had one hand on the phone, one hand free for your sham sesh. So what happened?
Yeah, bring it around.
It was terrible. You're right. If I do read any more of like how they do it, in what fashion, it's going to have to be blurred.
So to paint me a picture then.
I mean, it's really like just vivid sex scene. And then once you get to the end, it's like, hey, are you ready to go back? Literally the last sentence is, I pulled her to her feet together, we walked out of the trees. Not even a coherent sentence.
So it sounded like the author's effort kind of ended when he nutted, too.
I think that would be a good way to put it.
Yeah.
He was writing as he went along, and, you know, once he got his rocks off, it was done. I've tried to look up more stuff by this person. And there are 5 published stories.
What other cryptids they got?
They have writing tips.
Writing tip number 1, don't bust before you finish writing.
Give us his number 1 writing tip.
Describing hair color.
And then we go back to his story, and he just described fucking Bigfoot's hair as light brown.
Oh, what the fuck? It's literally just how describing hair color. And he's just got blonde, and then all these adjectives. Brown, all these adjectives. Black, it's not, and that's the whole thing. He's like white, red, gray, black, brown, blonde, that's it.
What are your closing thoughts after you finish this story?
I was horrified, appalled.
Appalled, offended even?
I would say that it was painful to read.
Yeah, I think you maybe went too far into the underworld of erotica on this one. Wattpad was bound to dredge up some some stinkers.
You went immediately into like the bottom of the garbage can. Yeah.
I did.
I at least do published novels.
Like, you remember the SpongeBob movie when they like go to the drop off? Like, that's where you got this one from, was the drop off. I guess we gotta ask the crowning question, Dom. Like,
no.
Not even a little?
Not even a slight.
I'll give him a writing tip. Stop writing.
Yeah.
Sit your ass in the cup chair.
This was like underground fucking video store smut kind of shit.
I was going to say, while I was opening Wattpad on my computer, I used my other email and found that I had a story of my own that I wrote all the way back in 2015.
There's no way, dude.
It certainly is. It has 5 chapters.
Are you going to give me a live reading from your horny erotica novel?
I will not.
What about a premise? What about a plot summary?
Come on, bro. Christian told us about his tulpa.
Yeah, dude. Monty.
Stop Face saying up. His name, dog.
Christian.
You wake him
Christian
up.
Can feel him looking at him now.
Shit, I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight.
That's going
to
be your skinamarink monster, dude. Fucking.
No, don't say that. Stop.
Not the skinamarink.
He's going to come at you like Aiden from Beyond Two Souls.
Come on, Dom. Give me a little taste, a little appetizer.
So it is probably the most basic thing that you can get as a freshman in high school writing a book at the same time that The Last of Us came out.
Oh, yeah. We're getting mushroom Zombie, head.
Bro. Yeah, so I even went as far as to put how the virus started.
Tell me how this virus came about.
Quote, there is a fungus like The Last of Us, and whenever it takes over a host. It's so generic.
Wait. This isn't horny?
No, I
don't want to hear this shit. I don't want you to be pitching your fucking fan figure if it ain't horny.
Maybe you could pick it up again and make it horny.
I don't want to pick this up ever.
There we go.
Pick it up again and make it horny.
Start writing it, bro. You could be just as depraved as whoever wrote your story. And welcome back from that break. We're back on the second half of the Cryptid Erotica Hour, episode 52, the one-year celebration. And we've kicked Dom off the show, and we've brought in our second guest. Welcome to the podcast for the first time, WeTCG, a.k.a. Josh. How you doing, Josh?
Long-time fan. It's nice to finally be on here.
Well, you know, it's nice to finally have you on, bud. So,
you know, Josh has kind of a different service record than even host Ryan here. He was an attendant at the Airtight Bridge.
Yeah, that's true. You might also know Josh from Airtight Bridge.
Josh served. He saw battle.
I've been there.
Yeah, he made his own video on it, and it was just as good. But yeah, longtime friend of the show, the channel. And we figured what better way to get him on the show than with a erotic cryptid show. Have you ever done anything like this before?
I can't say I have.
Because, you know, it's no secret that you're a YouTuber yourself.
Yeah, for sure. I think the only podcast I've ever been on is your uncle's.
Yeah, that... Yeah. I guess, Ryan, it's also your first time reading a erotic novel as well.
Yeah, somehow I lucked out and missed those first two, but now I'm here.
No lucked excuse. Out, bro. I'm I think you lucked in for this episode.
More like cucked in. Yeah. So, you know, I'm happy to be here. I'm excited to jump into my story, which I found from a little website called Literotica.
Yeah.
Literotica.
And it's called My Summer Night with the Dog Man.
Now that's not what you called it behind the scenes. Why don't you tell us what you called it in the green room, Ryan?
I don't know why. So at the ending of before our little break for this episode, we were ending the call, and Christian was like, "Hey, what do you have for next week?" And for some reason, my brain twisted My Summer Night with Dog Man, And I just yelled out, yeah, I got dog fucker. That's not what it's called. I think I was reading the word fuck on like the actual, like there's a line where like where they say fuck. And then my brain's thinking dog man. So I just said, yeah, I'm reading dog fucker next week for you guys. That's not what it is.
Yeah, is I was like, you cannot read a story called Dog Fucker on the show right now.
Oh god, I just was like, yeah, that's not what it is. I don't know why that came out.
That's like Dom comes on here and suddenly we have to do the most censors in an episode we've ever had.
Yeah, which is so funny because like the last time we had him on, it was so tame. He got like assaulted by a ghost on a ladder or something, and that was it. I'm gonna open up mine with a little quick reading. A couple lines, okay.
Oh, do we have to pay your rate? Hold up.
Yeah, dude. I don't step in the booth for anything less than $250 for
Christian shit, asked so. If I paid your rate for that line in
the intro.
I was like, he didn't ask, and I already exported the file.
We already exported that bitch. That's free.
You're gonna get slapped with the DMCA. Those are the rules, right?
If you export the file before they ask, it's free.
Hey, I've worked with some sketchy companies doing voiceover stuff. All right, so jumping into this, just a quick summary before I get into this. It's about this guy, Richard. I'm going to call him Richard. And he goes to visit his friends who live up in the mountains of Virginia. And I'm not sure if that's where the Dogman's actually seen, which is kind of funny. I thought the Dogman was up more by like Maine and stuff like that. But, so he goes there, and something starts happening. He starts noticing that there's some shadows outside the window, and he hears heavy breathing at night. Here is here's something that happens on the final night. I'm going to get real close on like an ASMR. I felt the creature's lips at my ear. They felt so soft and human-like. He trailed a slightly too wide tongue behind my ears and gently licked and kissed his way down my neck. The creature gave a quick, painful nip at my collar. I shrieked a little in both pain and pleasure. The hot mouth made its way back up to my ear, and I felt the hot breath tickle deliriously. The hoarse whisper sent a shiver down my spine. You're so beautiful. So that's, that's right before it gets a little hot and heavy.
Did you guys? The dog said that?
Yeah, Dogman said that.
Thank you for that, Ryan. No foreplay.
Damn, yeah, you said the whole right first and last it. Name. Damn.
So what's the romantic relationship between this person and this dog beast?
So essentially, and this kind of surprised me because I found a lot of this stuff on here and something we had touched on prior. It seems that a lot of these authors, and the author of this one, at least they say in their bio that they're a woman. Something that I had seen a lot was like, it's non-consensual. That's what you see a lot. It's like, the beast came in.
Yeah.
And this wasn't like that. This was actually Richard went to their friend's house knowing that there were Dogman sightings there, wanting to hook up with the Dogman. You know, he goes to his friend's house, and the first night that he's there, he hears, like, well, he goes out to piss at night. And I don't know why, because it's a fully furnished cabin, but he goes outside to pee, and he sees something in, like, the underbrush, like, out into the woods, like, in the tree line. And it's, like, it's very tall. There was a quote here. Let me see if I could find it.
That dog's like, you piss pretty loud, and I think that's cool.
Sounds like you're frying chicken out there, Richard. What you doing out here? So Richard is a college-aged, like, he's like a grad student, and he's going to go visit his friends for the summer. And, you know, it's always the grad students that are weird.
Grad students, they're so longing for touch.
And so, he's like this young Caucasian guy, short brown hair. And it says that he's 7 feet tall. Richard says that he's 7 feet tall.
Wow. What the fuck?
And he says it's because that the dog man was only, check this, only 10 or so feet tall, only 10 feet tall. So we have like two like Wendigos kissing. But so like
this
he goes
a fucking freak.
Exactly.
Was
so he
Richard
goes into
the cryptid.
Yeah. You know what? I think we all have a little bit of a cryptid in us based on what Richard's
definitely
going through.
Richard.
Yeah, Richard for fucking sure does. So I looked up what the Dogman is outside of Cryptorotica, you know? And it's almost always pictured as like, or portrayed as like, kind of like a mindless beast. It has like the intelligence of a wolf, but not of a human. I haven't heard many stories of like a dog man talking. So it kind of made me laugh when like he had lines like, "I'm not supposed to exist. I shouldn't be here." What? Like, so it was definitely something that caught me off guard, but you can tell that whoever wrote this was having a good time. There was some other smut out there that was really bad that I'd seen where it just was like, "I was outside at the park and I whipped out my pee-pee and the Mothman," like stuff like that.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping was
coming to the table.
Nothing, yeah, like, nothing could be worse than what Dom brought earlier.
Yeah, I don't know, Dom be out there.
Dom was in like
not Bigfoot, bigger, not bigger.
Finding his story, Josh, you missed it,
man.
Not like Dom did a bad job. Just the story innately was a horrendous story. So then, is there any other questions on mine? Because mine essentially was that it ends like, you know, it's over the span of 4 days. They, you know, he kind of teases them, Richard, the first three nights, and on the final night, the dog man shows up.
Yeah.
And they fuck. He wakes up as though he's never there. Like, he wakes up and he's like, but there was like, the window wasn't broken and the bed sheets were made. So it's like, did you really fuck Dogman, or was Dogman fucking the friends he made along the way?
Who was on top? Who was on
bottom? Yeah, I have some standard operating questions.
Yeah, you gotta go under the same examination Dom did. Did it get you hard?
No.
Wait, whoa.
That's a standard operating question.
We're going to ask you that question too, man.
Everyone on the show gets asked that about their story.
The answer is no.
You're not going to get all shy, old man. Weird.
Ten-foot dogmen just aren't what Ryan's into. It's okay.
Yeah, like,
he's not into Navi and dogmen getting together.
But there was like, there was one line. I'll just read like part of it because I know I can't read the whole thing. But I'll end my section with this. The movements were slow and sensual. He added another finger, making me moan. The speed stayed the same. It was too slow to really feel that good. But my God, was it erotic.
Oh my Lord.
It was too slow to feel good, but it was erotic. Like, wow. Brother wasn't getting me off, but I like appreciated the effort.
That was the thought that counts.
That's the kind of shit I was like fumbling around in the car in high school. Like, I didn't know what I was doing, but like, props for trying.
Whoa.
Don't get all shy and weird on me now.
But so that's it. That's my summer night with the dog man.
Wow.
Did the dog man come?
Did he?
Yes.
Yeah, what was the ending?
No, I told you the ending was like they go all the way, and then like Richard wakes up the next morning.
That's right.
The bed isn't all messed up, but like it felt so real. And then like they
So dog man don't even get breakfast the next day.
Not even. No.
That's rude.
Like, here is the last line of the thing. I felt sad that it was only a dream, but it only made sense. There were no such things as 7-foot-tall, beautiful, furry, dog-like men.
Or were there? That's got at least a little bit more of a gimmick to it. There's like that did they not type of thing. Like, it's got a little texture to it, but it does sound like a pretty standard, like, I boned a furry beast story.
Yeah, and like, and I'm not gonna lie, it was actually like, it was well written compared to some of the other stuff there. Was it smutty? Absolutely, but we knew that going into it. But it had like standard sentence and paragraph structure. The grammar was right, you know, like, and there was like a beginning, middle, and end to it.
I'm worried I'm getting like desensitized to these kinds of stories. Like, I need something.
Well, you are how many books into your erotic series? None of us are in reading series. You're reading a series.
I'm like 1,500 pages in.
Yeah, you spend a lot more time with your erotica than we do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I analyze this like from a literary standpoint. Like,
what, like you're proofreading it?
Yeah, well, I'm not gonna sit there and read it to enjoy it. Like,
what, you're gonna like send the author notes, be like, I really like this part.
I commented
about,
on
hey bro, you should really start using the Oxford comma.
Yeah, it's like, I'm not sure what you're doing here, but like, you know, if you're trying to separate yourself from Bigfoot and Bigger, another story I've heard of. You gotta start using that Oxford comma. But yeah, so that's mine. I hope you guys enjoyed the little ASMR-y stuff of it. You can put that in a YouTube short for publicity.
Like the performance pieces.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, definitely going to be part of the Clips channel. I really don't want to follow up Ryan. That was good.
Yeah, he's a little hard to follow up. Especially since mine was so, I guess, lukewarm. So I read the next chapter in the book that I paid for, so I didn't have to look very far. Yeah, yeah. Remember Big, Big Love? Yeah, I paid $3 for this bad boy, so I'm using all three stories in it for Cryptid Erotica. The next one in there was Reptilian Rapture, and it follows our protagonist, Carmen Kennedy. Now, she is a young woman living in the city, working at a news tribune, the Metro Gazette, and you know, she really loves her job as a journalist, right? She's struggling to figure out what kind of story she wants to run for her column. You know, she decides to go on this one that she did about a... she met this guy across town a couple weeks ago who was a crackpot conspiracy theorist, right?
Mm-hmm. And she thought that was hot.
I mean...
No, no, no. This one's strange. You think it's going to be interesting, but then it just kind of doesn't really go nowhere. She's deciding to run the story on this conspiracy theorist that she met who has this big unified vision about reptilians who have infiltrated the government, right? And as she's typing up the article in her office, her editor comes in. And her editor's known to be a kind of aggressive boss around the office.
Ooh.
Yes, her name is Veronica Lennox, and she is known to be very attractive, described as having all the men.
Every character in the story has a porn name,
and everybody's thirsty for Veronica at the office, you know. But she's also, you know, kind of a bee, kind of really scrutinizes people's work, you know, when you're trying to get an article submitted.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, so what are you doing an article on? She tells her about the crackpot lizard man who's infiltrating the government and our world leaders, and the lizards want to, and this is specific, the lizards want to impregnate all the human women on Earth with lizard-human hybrids that will eat humans.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, that's apparently the lizard's grand plan, right? And at the mention of this, her editor, Veronica, gets, like, really, really weird. She, like...
Oh, no.
What?
Oh, no. I think I know where this is going. Did the boss then close her eyes vertically and run out of the room?
No. The boss is like, oh... she gets really inquisitive, really scrutinizes her paper, and she's like, fine, you can run the article. But first, when she comes in the room, she sneaks up on Carmen, who's working on her computer. Carmen just kind of looks up from her computer, and she's just jump scared by Veronica, right? And she's like, oh, man, you really tend to sneak up on me sometimes. And Veronica's like, yeah, that's how I keep you lot honest. And I don't know what she means by you lot, you know?
Like her contingent of writers? She's like always checking up on them? And...
But, like, that's weird. That's weird to say, right?
That is a little freaky. I'm getting bad vibes from Veronica Mars or whatever the hell her name
is.
Yeah,
yeah. But anyways, she's, like, super hot. Everybody at the office loves her. And
but anyway, she's super hot.
Anyways, she's really hot. Everyone loves her. Yeah, she's kind of a bee sometimes.
Like, girl boss, more power to her. Like,
yeah, she's kind of a girl boss. It's true. It's true. But anyway, she lets her run the story. And this interaction leaves Carmen so frazzled. She's at the coffee maker, she's pouring coffee, all of a sudden her cup overflows. It's burning her hand, then Veronica comes into the break room.
Okay.
What's up, dude?
I'm scared.
It's fast paced. Veronica comes into the break room, and she's like, hey, give me a cup of coffee. So, Carmen pours her a cup of coffee, and when she goes to hand it to her, their hands brush against each other. And Carmen notes that Veronica feels ice cold to the touch, right? And then she thinks back to the guy she interviewed about the lizard people, and he said that the lizards are known to be anemic, very cold to the touch. And so, because of these two weird interactions, Carmen gets it in her head. And it's a long shot, she admits. But Veronica might be one of these lizard people.
No shit.
And she thinks that's going to be the scoop of the century. So what's her next logical step? You know, she wants to
impregnate her. Oh, hold
up. You think at the interview when the heat lamp she would have noticed on.
Yeah. Hot news, Veronica. Hot news. Why do you have a bag of crickets in your trail mix?
It's 85 in the office every goddamn day. But anyway, no, Carmen decides she's going to break into her boss's office, right? But, you know, first they have a montage of Carmen getting ready for the night, and they describe that she's also super hot and attractive.
Of course.
Dude, trust me.
I thought you were leading this in the direction of, like, two sapphic journalists come together to fight this, like, conspiracy cryptid dweeb who keeps accosting this woman. They form, like, a girl-boss relationship out of this and then kiss.
Nope. Fuck. So, she goes to the office, she breaks in, and she gets to Veronica's office and starts lockpicking the door. And when she gets in, she is stunned. Right? She just sees two eyes glowing in the dark like you would on a cat or a dog or like a raccoon or something, right? And when she flicks on the light, she sees lizard person Veronica.
Is she still hot as a lizard?
Yeah, I mean,
I would assume so.
Well, you know, she's described as having emerald scales that end in dull yellow claws, no hair on her face or her head or anywhere really, and she doesn't really have as defined facial features Carmen describes, so she says that it only kind of looks like Veronica, and it's kind of so I think it's kind of weird looking from the way she describes it.
I'm assuming she's still wearing Veronica's clothes, so that's how she knows.
And yeah, she's still wearing clothes. And it's weird because Veronica invites her in when she gets the lock picked. She's like, come closer and see what you came to see.
Okay.
And she comes in, and then Carmen obviously does the freak out thing, and she's like, what, you're a lizard woman? And she's like, yes. Yeah. And she's like, so the crackpot conspiracy guy I interviewed was right. And she's like, yes, well, kinda. Our real mission isn't to impregnate all, you know, humanity, or impregnate and kill all humanity. Like, we make money off of you guys, so we're not going to destroy all of humanity. But what we keep you around for is because our appetite isn't meat and bone. This is quoting the book. My appetite isn't meat and bone. It's for your energy. For such a short-lived race, you humans give off loads of it. We've had plenty of time to study, and we've learned human energy is easiest to feed on during moments of extreme cardio-respiratory exercise.
Oh, my man. You're talking about
that there. And when Carmen, and you know, when double-digit IQ Carmen can't put two and two together, Veronica has to tell her sex, you know. Sex is what, you know, sex, that's you the energy idiot. That we feed off of. We have to bang humans.
It sounds like she's just an Asari.
Yeah, I was gonna say, she's just like an Asari.
Yeah. This one is really lame. Nothing crazy happens because big love. We had like dudes sucking on Bigfoot's toes.
That was too
that
much
one
for
was
me.
Pretty freaky.
That shit was crazy. That shit was raunchy. Like, this is just, it's boring, dude. All that happens from here is that Veronica ends up going down on
Oh, that's all that happens?
He's only 10 feet tall?
Yeah, on the desk, right on the desk.
That's got to be against some type of regulation.
Hey, I hope she gets a day off.
So she fillets her. Go
yeah,
on.
Yeah, just right there on the desk, right? And
a question, addendum.
Yeah.
Now, don't look too into this, but is she more especially equipped with, like, a, I might bleep this, but like a lizard tongue?
I think you're gonna,
you're
bleep
gonna
that.
Have to bleep that. You're gonna have to.
She
bleep
does
that.
Describe. She does describe the tongue entering her. So
is it no, forked? There's no point in bleeping it because they're gonna know what I said.
But they're gonna. They're not gonna know that you said pussy eating lizard tongue.
Oh. Oh my god. Yeah, I mean, take from that description what you will. She does say that it enters her. And actually, that's what, like, does the trick, you know, to send it all home.
To send it all home.
Yep.
I don't like the way you said that.
That's where the energy come from.
She describes her skin as feeling like it has an electrical current beneath it. And she says that must be her sapping the energy. Yeah, so after they do it, she's like, so what are we going to do now? And she's like, what are we? Get out of here. Here. Yeah, like, she's like, what are we?
Can I have a raise?
Yeah, right?
Based on that performance, no.
See you Monday.
She's like, I'm the lizard woman controlling the media. That's why I'm the editor, dog.
Of course.
That's why all your stories have to go across my desk.
This is like a Goosebumps book. For
it is.
18
plus,
right?
It's a little goosebumpy.
Like R.L. Stein.
But no, she's essentially like, so what's going to happen now? And the girl's like, go get the fuck on. And she's like, what if I go tell? And she's like, who's going to believe you? Literally, go ahead.
My boss is a lizard person.
You found another guy that knew the truth, and you already called him a conspiracy theorist.
You can stay working here, but just so you know, it's pussy o'clock, 3 p.m. on Thursday, every
oh
week
God.
From now on.
That's workplace harassment. That's sexual misconduct, dude. The Metro Gazette needs to have courses about this. But yeah, she essentially is just like, yeah, I don't care, you know? She's like, go tell anyone you want. They're not going to believe you.
Which is fair.
She's like, if you want, just you can just go back to normal and just treat this like the fling it was. She's like, so you had a one-night stand with the lizard woman and learned the truth about the human race. Whatever, dude. It's not that serious. Quit calling me.
Ain't that deep.
Yeah, it sounded like Carmen caught feelings. You know?
This is like the exact opposite of the Bigfoot one, because like he wanted to move
I
in.
I know. At the end of the Bigfoot one, Clint just walked off into the cave with Bigfoot. No questions asked.
So, did it do it for you?
No.
Now you're getting the format. Now you're catching on.
It did not do it.
That was the erotic section.
The erotic section? I mean, it was all right. You know, it was pretty just like. It's pretty stock standard stuff. Like, he goes to describe the character, and it's just like, oh, this character's so hot. My character is so, so hot, you know? But yeah, it was not very good. And I'm not looking forward to the next one, which is The Goat Man Cometh.
That's in Cryptid Erotica 4.
Yeah, that's for the next Cryptid Erotica. Josh, the floor is yours for your debut. And,
So first off, I didn't want to do something like Bigfoot or the Wolfman. I wanted to have something special. And I found a story on an old website, and it's a very short story, but I think we're going to have a lot to talk about.
I'm excited.
I'm kind of scared.
You should see how Dan looked at me.
I'm
okay, so the story takes place in the woods. You know, two friends, they got out there to do some camping.
Oh, man. Oh, no.
Do you have anything to say, Christian? Have you read this one before?
Depends on the name.
Yeah, I've read this one.
Can you tell me what the main characters' names were?
Christian and Dan.
Dog, you're kind of hitting below the belt bringing home a home-written erotic fanfic.
Oh, really?
Whoa. No,
I just found it on some website.
You're hitting below the belt by bringing my erotic fanfic to my show.
Yo, let's go.
That shit is not fair.
Well, Ryan, for you, since you don't know about this story, let me tell you. So these two friends, unnamed, they're just chilling in the woods, having a good time. And one of them keeps feeling like they're being watched. You know, like the eyes like the trees have eyes. And they find themselves at a party, having a good time, and they meet one of the girls from their school, right, that actually went camping with them. And as the party goes on, everyone gets drunk, everyone, you know, they're on drugs, and the two main characters separate, and then a new character, this new girl, she becomes the focal point of the story.
Oh, God.
She's like groundbreaking narrator switching stuff, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I got you. She's on her way back to her campsite, and she meets none other than the Slender Man.
Yes. Okay. Oh, okay. Listen. In high school, we wrote a Slender Man role play. Okay. Grow up, everyone. Grow up. This is foundational lore in my life. Yes. Okay?
This did not start as a erotic role play.
No, it did. No. It kind of did.
Christian knew where it was going.
We were probably like 14 when we were writing this online. We had like a role-playing website where we'd write various different RPs, and this one was going pretty good, I thought.
Slenderman isn't exactly how he's described in other stories.
Now, a third party wrote this section.
This was a random person.
A third party wrote this section that wasn't myself or Christian.
A peer that we invited to contribute to the story. Mm.
Yes.
And only the story.
This was out of pocket. We didn't know anything like this.
So just rip the band-aid off, bro. Let it rip.
Well, first, I really want to... Slenderman is like snake-like, right? He rolls his S's like a snake is a... You know.
He does roll his S's for some reason. I don't know why. He's like...
And, you know, Slenderman's just talking to her at first. And then he's just like, I want to show you something most pleasurable. And then the scene that happens after, you know.
Pretty standard fare, yes.
Nothing that Slenderman's actually done in other stories, you know.
The extended lore.
Yeah, no, nothing from the Slenderman lore. This stuff just kind of comes out of left field and kind of out of pocket. And... When she posted this, it just killed the RP. We did not post anymore. We were just like,
we stopped contributing after that. Yeah.
To be fair, her storytelling was very good.
I guess, yeah, but like, at the end, it just turns into like gore.
Yeah, true. She does not survive.
She does not survive this encounter.
She does not
Slender
survive
Man.
The encounter.
The tentacles burst out both sides of her.
Oh my god.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Never wrote that. I'm watching too much hentai. God.
No, that's like some lively stuff. It was like really, really out of pocket.
Can you do a reading for me, Ryan?
Yeah, send it my way, dog.
All right, let me pull it up. I have it right here.
He has the pose.
He has the pose.
He has the pose. Jesus, you're right. She does die.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yeah. Yeah, listen, we were all different people in high school, okay?
It didn't seem real. First, the tentacle in my vagina burst through the skin of my belly.
I told you!
You went straight for the death scene.
Jesus, what the fuck? I scoffed as the boys left. How could they just leave me here in the woods? Alone? They're probably just going to be laid by their whores, I muttered to myself as I began to walk towards the campsite. Ugh, boys. As I was walking, I heard a twig snap behind me. Turning around quickly, I scanned the tree line for any sign of movement. Who's there? I asked, scared. Christian? Danny? This isn't funny! Another twig snapped behind me, and I spun around to see a tall man in a tuxedo. That wasn't the weird part, though. His arms were elongated to abnormal lengths, and he had no face. Was this the legendary monster that Christian and Danny were talking about? Maybe it was just a man in a costume to try and scare campers. That was more likely. It was probably even Danny or Christian. Guys, I said, chuckling and rolling my eyes, this isn't funny. The game's over.
Yes, the game's over.
There.
And the game had just begun.
You know, I'm going to go to when the tentacles pop in.
How do you continue? How do you continue writing your cute, like, we're gonna fight Slender Man RP story after he, like, kill fucks one of the characters?
I can't believe she wrote that. Holy sh!
And at the end, she goes, "And your friends are next."
And your cute friends are next. That's what it was. My god.
There's like 200 pages of perfectly fine RP in this website, but this one story just got so out of pocket, and it scarred me.
Well, I'm happy to open those scars for the podcast. And it did not do it for me.
All that to say,
thanks for that.
I'm glad it didn't. I'm glad it didn't, considering this was ended in a death. Very NSFW. I don't know why we never deleted this one. It kind of just sits up there as a testament of shame.
Actually, this summer is going to be the 10-year anniversary of that post. It was made on June 4th, 2013.
That's a relic. That's a testament of time. That's awesome.
I just sort of didn't expect I was going to go through like high school cringe court today.
Not high school cringe court.
Well, you never know what you can expect on Cryptid Erotica. It grows, it evolves in ways that maybe we don't even understand every time we come back. And I think we talked about this in the green room, about making this more of a semi-regular kind of feature, Dan. If I don't know if you wanted to like speak to that at all.
You know, with the new year, the podcast is going to change a little bit. We are going to make Cryptid Erotica a regularly scheduled occurrence. You're going to get one about every 10-ish episodes. So look out for that and get ready for more Cryptid Erotica on the way.
Let's go.
Yeah, and Josh, thanks for coming on. How was your Cryptid Erotica reading experience? Did you have fun?
I think as much fun as you can, reading monsters, doing things to people, but it was definitely a good time.
If I were in the same room as you when we were recording this, I would have left. I would have walked out of the room.
You should have seen how he looked at me. Left.
If, like, we were at the point in our careers where like a camera was on, I would have walked out. I don't think I could have. I can't face that part of me with like a camera rolling.
I can't face that part of me.
Like, it's like I'm like staring at the evil dark persona version of me right now.
I could hear Christian's fight or flight kick in when like he realized what Josh was bringing to the table.
you were kind of edging me a little bit, and you were like, you know,
can you tell me the names of the two main protagonists? You out yourself. That's cruel of you.
That was like a Saw game almost.
Oh man.
All right, everybody, that's going to do it for Cryptid Erotica Hour 3, Episode 52. Thank you, Dom. Thank you, Josh, for coming on. It was great having you. Always fun to get new people on the show. This has been Mantar Radio.
Space and time. Unspeakable knowledge. It is Mantar Radio.